like to thank the North Miami Coil for bringing me here once again and giving me this opportunity to reconnect. As the Belager mentioned tonight, she is about priorities of tzedakah. It's not going to be talking about how to increase the amounts of tzedakah given. Baruch Hashem, Mikam Chayisrael, Chayisrael gives out phenomenal sums of money to tzedakah. But what we are going to talk about in Yad Hashem is how to elevate the way we give tzedakah, the forms of tzedakah. You can give the same dollar amount, but get more for your buck. You could increase the efficacy of your tzedakah. We're going to learn about the priorities of who we're supposed to treat first, get preferential treatment, etc. But tzedakah is a hallmark of a yid. And Avraham Avinu gave over this legacy to Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says it's a simin letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. That's his lashon. It's matnas aniyim. To Simon, if you want to know if he's a Yid or not, let's look at his tzedakah that he's giving, and then we'll know if he's a Yid. A Yid, every Yid gives tzedakah. So, to lay down the groundwork is that we know that all mitzvahs, there are halachas. You want to shake a lulav. How tall the lulav has to be, how tall the dasim has to go on the right, and the rav is on the left, and the dasim has to be dropped tall, and the other can't be too high on the lulav. There are halachas. On every mitzvah, there are halachas how to do it in a better way. So too, in hilchos tzedakah, it's like any other mitzvah d'oraisa, we have halachas of how to be mekayem mitzvah tzedakah. And the more we know about those halachas and the details, the better off our giving will be. So let's lay down some yisoidis. Everyone has heard about ma'isa. So let me dispel a notion. Ma'isa is a beautiful minig. It's not mentioned in the Torah. It's not mentioned in, really, it's not mentioned in Shas. And it's not actually not even Gepaskin and Shulchan Aruch. It's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. There's one remez, a Suffolk remez in Ramah about the Indian of Ma'isa. It's not even mentioned. But everyone in Klal Yisrael knows about Ma'isa. It's Alpi Kabbalah, and it's a great thing. But what is a Deraisa is called Tzedakah. And Tzedakah and Ma'isa are not necessarily the same thing. Tzedakah is a chiyuv that we have to provide for aniyim. How much are we supposed to be giving of our income? Well, that depends which tax bracket we're in, how much we're earning. The Rambam, Tor, Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Tes, Paskins, that the Beinoni, the person who makes an average income, the median income, household income, him and his wife together, household income, that median gives 10%. If a person is making a little bit lower than the average income, so then he gives 9%. A little bit lower than that is 8%. And so too, a little bit higher than that could be 11%, 12%, 30%, and it go up till 20%. Once it is 20%, it maxes out. We're now allowed to give more than 20% of our money away to tzedakah. Ma'aser is something else entirely. Ma'aser is al pi kabbalah, like I mentioned, and that is the Indian of ma'aser rishon. We all know that when we have tefuah, when we have crops, we had to take off a tithe of the crops and give it away to the Levium, and that was ma'aser rishon. Money, which is not crops, and we're in Chusar, it's even will be crops, the crops is only in Eretz Yisrael, there's an Indian called ma'aser that is like ma'aser rishon, and we're supposed to be giving it away, so to speak, to Levium. Who are the Levium? The Levium are those who are the Ovdim in the Beis HaMikdash. They're the Shevet Hanifcha that was dedicated and devoted solely to learning Torah. And Memela, the Maisa was given to them to support them that they should be able to still serve in the Beis HaMikdash uninterrupted. They don't have to be out to work. They could be focused on serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And everyone knows the famous Rambam, L'Shevet Levi Bovad. Every person in Klal Yisrael could reach the Dag and learn Torah and be like Shevet Levi and devote himself to be a Kol Yungaman and to be, learn totally engrossed and focused in Torah. But Levim were those people who were devoted to Torah Hashem. So therefore, based on this, the strict understanding of Ma'aser is that Ma'aser Ksofim that we're trying to accomplish also are supposed to go to quote-unquote Shevet Levi, which are the Amalei Torah of Klal Yisrael. That's what's Mavun, the Medrash, that our Ma'aser money is supposed to go to Amalei Torah. A Molei Torah are people who are devoted, learning. It could be a Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, a Rav, a Reish Kollel, a younger man. It's someone whose life mission is to learn Torah. We have phenomenal, beautiful organizations in Klal Yisrael that actually Klal Yisrael really can't survive without. Hatzalah, Bika Chaylim, Chayf Eva. There are many organizations. It's asking. There are many organizations that we take for granted for Klal Yisrael, and as beautiful as they are, but it's not a Molei Torah. So according to the strict reading of the Medrashim, really, that shouldn't be taken off from Maisa. Maisa should be going to people who are learning Torah. Support a Kollel, North Miami Kollel, for example. You support a Kollel. That's where Maisa Ksavma is supposed to be going to. The other mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael is really not supposed to be coming out of Maisa, but should be coming out above the Maisa. For example, let's say somebody, he's in the bracket, a little above average, and he's supposed to be giving 12% tzedakah. Let's just say. So the Sfarim say that you want to accomplish the inyan of Maisa, so what you really want to do is be mafresh, or at least designate 10% of your money going towards Maisa, and the other 2, 3, 4, whatever percent is, that is a separate cheshbon. I don't give 14% tzedakah, I give 10% for Maisa and an additional 4% as tzedakah. If a person is higher up and he can afford to give 20%, he doesn't give 20% away. He gives 2 times 10% away. He gives 1/10. 1/10% is for Maisa Rishin, and the second 10% is Maisa Sheni. What was Maisa Sheni? Maisa Sheni was we took our crops and we went up to Yerushalayim, and we ate our crops in Yerushalayim. And what was the point of bringing up the crops to Yerushalayim? So obviously it's Gzeiras HaKasa, but what's mavur in this farm is that when we come up to Yerushalayim, we were exposed to the beauty of the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim Ba'avodasam, Levim B'Shiram. It's beautiful, mamish beautiful. And we were inspired and connected, and we come back from Eretz Yisrael on a high. On a spiritual high, we are more connected to the Rosh Hashanah. So really what Maisa Sheni was supposed to accomplish is an injection of Ruchnias. Mitzvah. See, now when you shake a lulav, you're going to do it with a slavis, you're going to do it with simcha. When you have a knosis orchim, it's going to be with simcha. You're going to do the mitzvah in its fullest. It was a benefit, a boost to our mitzvahs. So therefore the Sfarim say that the first 10% should be going for a Molei Torah. And the second 10% should be going for all the other mitzvahs that Baruch Shem Klal Yisrael has. Now, this is not pashut, since Maisa is not a deraisa, and it's not a derabbanan even according to most poskim. It's only a minig, a pisoid, like I mentioned. So therefore, there are many places who are willing to meimekel and allow you to use even your Maisa money, your first 10%, towards mitzvahs. There's a mashmois in the Rama in the beginning of Reish Mem Tes, not like that. They not allowed to use it for mitzvahs. And there are achrayim who address it and they get out of that mashmois. So it's a debate. It's not clear. But because it's anyway not what we call me'ikar adin, so therefore there are places who are willing to be lenient. The Chavetz Chaim makes a pshara based on the Knesset HaGdayla, and that is that our ma'isa money, which really is supposed to be going to a Molei Torah, it's enough if we do Rubai Kekulai. So if you give most of your Maisa money to a Molei Torah, then sort of you accomplished that inyan of a Molei Torah. And Memela, it's yes, you satisfied, I gave Maisa Rishon to the Levim. I didn't give 10% of my money to Levim, I only gave 6% of my money to Levim, and the other 4 went for mitzvahs, but in the totality of the Maisa, most of my money went for Molei Torah, and that's enough, and that's a kiyum of Maisa Rishon.
So what's the Molei Torah that are Aniyim also?
Well, most Molei Torah are Aniyim. But if, but in Echnami, if he's not an Ani, then really use your money to somebody else. But if you have a problem, I could direct you, you know. Most Molei Torah are Aniyim, and which is fine. That's the beauty of the world. The sacrifice that we have towards Torah is that, yes, that's, and you never know based on the Gemara and Baba Basra, that it's very possible that the reason why most of the Amalei Torah Aniyim is to give the rest of Klal Yisrael an opportunity to support the Amalei Torah, so they could also have the schus of the Torah that he's learning. Can you imagine if the Amalei Torah would be sufficient, self-sufficient, independently, financially independent, what would the rest of Klal Yisrael do? Right? They'll be stuck. So when are they going to learn Tyrus? And when are they going to learn Kachim? And when are they going to learn Kachim Mishpat? When are they going to do that? Right? At best they'll learn, I don't know, Daf Yomi, they'll hear a shir on Shabbos, I don't know what will be. So, like this, they have a schus in the chelik of Torah, of all the Amalei Torah, because they support the Amalei Torah. So Hashem knows what he's doing exactly. He has it all figured out. So it's a good thing, in a way, that the Amalei Torah sometimes have to come on to help, which allows opportunities to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So if it's a building campaign for Torah, right? If it's a new Evan, you know, Hanochas Evan Apina for a Koyelel, a Chosh of a Koyelel that's happening on Sunday, so, and that Koyelel is a Makom Torah, so yes, and that's considered also Torah. Means it could be your base medrash that you learned in as well. It could be, yes, if you're supporting Torah, so then yes, your mice and money is going towards Torah. But what we have to come out, this is the first Nekuda Rabbi Yisai, to elevate our giving, the form of giving is to try to find the Amalei Torah. And even if you go like the Shitas or hold that you're allowed to give Maisa Stam to mitzvahs, beautiful mitzvahs, but everyone agrees that Torah is supreme, that Torah is more Choshev. It's just they allow you to give to mitzvahs. But if you have an opportunity, I have a Talmud Chacham in front of me or a mitzvah in front of me, I'm supposed to support the Talmud Chacham before I support the mitzvah. So definitely, according to everyone, if you give to Talmidei Chachamim, you just elevated your type of tzedakah.
When you give, a person lesson gives over 10%, so that 2-4% is considered the chaimish, or you're only hitting the chaimish when if you can give.
We're going to be part of your what we call Maisa Sheni, but you're not doing a full Maisa Sheni. So in Ekonomi, you're not going to get the full and you know Maisa Sheni, but that is the person's Chiva Pi Torah for Tzedakah, right? It's funny how somehow Maisa took over. The halachas of the Torah and Hilchas Tzedakah were like put on the side, marginalized, and everyone heard of Maisa. And not that many people heard of Tzedakah. But yes, Tzedakah you would get, that would be part of your second 10%, but yeah, you didn't do the whole Maisa Sheni, but you gave what you could afford, so you're good.
So stopping to regular Ani, not at all, the Torah is the same level as giving Hatzolah and...
No. Stopping to a regular Ani is a key mitzvah deraisa of tzedakah. That's great, but you didn't do a Malei Torah, so if you want to know in Hilchas Maisa, I got tzedakah, but I may not have gotten Maisa, depending on the Shita. If I get Roiv of my Maisa money to Malei Torah, that Chavis Chaim was Makriya, that Pshara, and that would work. So this is the first...
What makes your bracket? How do you know what the average bracket is?
How do you know? I guess you look around. I can't speak for North Miami. I could speak for Lakewood. If I had to take a guess, I'm not an accountant, but I had to take a guess. The median income in Lakewood is probably about $250,000. That's my guess. But I have no idea what it is in North Miami, so don't use that number at all, right? But that's my guess for Lakewood. So in economy, the more kid you have, so the more dependents you have, so in economy, there's less to go around to give out. I'm just talking about what's considered the Benini. So, you know, we could talk about Benini of families. The average family in Lakewood has 8 kids. I don't know. We could.
As you go up,
you increase your tzedakah. For example, let's talk math. So if you have, if, three ifs, if 250 is the number, I'm just giving you a number, so if your person earns 275, so then he's supposed to be giving 11%, because he has an extra, that 1% in his income. If he's earning 300, he's supposed to be giving 12%, etc. Actually, it's probably even more, because the bread and butter, the meat that you need at the beginning is like, you can't do away with, that you need, and it's the extra that you're... that cushion you can easily to give away. But for certain, let's say someone's earning $500,000 of a family income, then for sure he's supposed to be giving a chaimish because he could afford it. That's for sure. So that based on these numbers. So That, but you can't go over a chaimish. So there's a catch there. But that's first level of elevation is to make sure to try to give as much as you can to Moli Torah. That's the first nekuda.
Every miser includes tzedakah also.
Every miser includes tzedakah if you're giving to anim. But what happens if you don't give to anim? Let's say you give to a mitzvah that's not anim. Many of the organizations, most of the organizations do not discriminate anim ashim, right? Someone who's sick, for example, in the hospital and the Bika Khan comes by, they don't say, oh, I see your tax return, you're archer, so goodbye, I'm not going to visit you. They don't do that. They help everyone. Hatzalah helps everyone. All these organizations help everyone. So maybe a chelik of it is helping anim. There's a chiddush or Rav Yosher. Rav Yosher had a chiddush that he said if the organization needs that much amount of money to provide for the aniyim, then the extra for the ashiyim doesn't count. Let's say, for example, Hatzalah. Let's say Hatzalah needs an ambulance, right? And even if there wouldn't be, they wouldn't service any ashiyim, only aniyim, and they would still need that one ambulance, so then the fact that they also service ashiyim doesn't detract from the Hukas Tzedakah Shabbai that they're helping aniyim. But let's say now, because there are more people, they need a second ambulance, and if there would be only aniyim, they wouldn't need that second. You get, okay, it's getting technical. Fine, but you get the idea. The idea is that be'etzem, we should try to capitalize and get the most we can, is try to focus and channel our money to Moli Torah. The second nekuda is that a lot of times people are approached by fundraisers, and they come and well-meaning, and the yeshivas and the meisters need these fundraisers because otherwise they won't raise the funds, and they need the funds. That we know. But many of these fundraisers take a large amount off the top. They could be taking 20-30% or more off the top. So while it's a beautiful thing and it's considered tzedakah 100% when you give to these fundraisers, for sure, don't say otherwise. You did give to the yeshiva. The yeshiva decided to spend that money on fundraisers, but you gave to the yeshiva. But if you know of a Talmud Chacham and you could give the money directly, and you circumvented, you bypassed that fundraiser cut, so then you're getting 100 cents on your dollar that's going to the objective, the cause that's needed, whereas through a fundraiser, maybe only 75 cents on your dollar or less is going to where you want it to end up. So, again, Zichit's 100% tzedakah, because that was the choice that the Maisid made. But if you want to be able to elevate your form of giving, so then you'd be better off if 100 cents on the dollar is going to help out the Talmud Chacham, rather than 75 cents on the dollar.
But you don't do a credit card processor, and it takes 3%.
Exactly, same thing. So 3%, you're losing out. It is, if the yeshiva elect accepts tzedakah, it's in the deal that they have internal between them and the merchant and the credit card processor, Visa, whatever it is. So in economy, you get full credit for that tzedakah, but if you want to know, only 97 cents of your money is going to support the Talmud Chacham.
You can always opt in to pay the fees too.
Yeah, okay, and economy, fine. Now, but for sure, what you, it's for sure tzedakah. You know, the famous story of Chaim Volozhin. One time a fundraiser pulled up by a Gvir's house, and he was driving a chosh of a wagon, and he turned, mamish, the Gvir was very upset, very disturbed by it, that I'm supporting the Volozhin yeshiva, and my money should go to a wagon? That's what I'm doing? I want to support Torah. And he brought it up with Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin explained that based on the psukim, malachim, whatever, makshavis, it's in Tassanta Chidish that he had. But he said it depends on your makshava. If your makshava is pure and rain when you gave that tzedakah, then your money is going to support the younger man. And if it's not, it's going to support the horse. That was his line. Right? It's the ferret. Then you're supporting the ferret. So, in economics, it depends, but it's for sure stuff. You're supporting the yeshiva. But the question is where your money is really ending up. If it ends up in the Talmud Chacham's pocket, you're better off.
So these mice that give these lavish gifts to their donors, essentially they're losing some sort of schar there too.
I don't know about that, because it's not a machayev. You gave them 100% and then they decided to give...
But subconsciously, I think a lot of them expect something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I have no idea. I was never in that position to give large sums of money. Okay, fine. So let's talk tachlis, Rabbi Say. I think, let's be honest, everyone in this shul, this Beis Medrash, knows of somebody who could use help, and there's an ani, a Talmud Chacham, everyone knows, we're all exposed, neighbors, we have relatives, so we have to think about them. If we give to them and we bypass all the overhead and all the cuts in the middle, sometimes you have meisters, beautiful meisters, and they're so large and they have so much overhead expenses, it ends up that not just 30% is lost, it's like 50 or 60% of your money theory could be lost to overhead and the like. So if you know of somebody, reach out to him personally. Okay, if you're embarrassed, he's going to embarrass him. Figure it out. You could always get with a little creativity, you could always get someone to be the go-between and give him the money, and then you get 100 cents on the dollar, and it's direct. It's great. So, I never said that. I said it is tzedakah. It's 100% tzedakah. When I have to go on the record, I have to clear this a few times. It's 100% tzedakah. Okay, now that we're on the record, but lemaisa is, how much of my money went to the Talmud Chacham?
So
it's not a hergish. It's elevating your giving. You're supporting more Torah this way than the other way. That's his own tzayir. So in economy, if you did that, that's great. That's great. When he pays for gas, that's your tzedakah that you're helping a Talmud Chacham. That's perfect.
So if you earmark the money specifically for, let's say, Sukkot Shulam or whatever, then you're getting 100%. If they decide to,
if there's no one taking a card in the middle, yes, 100%. Yes. Okay. So let's now we have to move on, Rabbi. So let's talk about priorities and tzedakah. Let's take the next where we could elevate the form of giving, and that is the Shulchan Aruch provides for priorities, has a few lists of priorities. So first priority is based on kurva, on relatives. So the Shulchan Aruch says that parents go first, then children, then siblings, uncles, cousins. There's a priority. And if I have a choice of who to give to, and I could give to a child or a brother, I give to a child. I have a choice between a brother and an uncle, I give to a brother, etc. There's a...
Being both of them, Tamir Chachamim.
Yeah, let's say they're both Tamir Chachamim. We'll talk about it even if they're not. But let's, even if they're all equal, there's a priority of kurva. A parent is also a form of tzedakah. It's the highest form. But before we run away to use our money to support parents, there, it's so special to support a parent in need, is that Chazal said that someone who supports his parents using tzedakah money gets cursed. Because you're supposed to want to support your parents from your own money, not from tzedakah money. Unless you can't afford it, and you need to come on to tzedakah funds to do it, then you could. Otherwise, you should steer away using your tzedakah funds and only use your personal money. But there is a tier, right? There's a children. This family comes first. If someone has the schus to support a brother in learning, he won the jackpot. It's spitz. He has Torah, he has kurva. He can support a child, an edim in learning, a son-in-law in learning. He hit a home run. It's great. It's phenomenal. He mamish is supporting his kraivim in learning. It might not be as glamorous as supporting somebody else. You won't be honored in a dinner for supporting your brother, but it's much more rewarding because that's the halakha. Sorry? Yeah. Yes. But you have to know, once you're on that topic, yes. But the problem is like this. Halacha is, you're not allowed to use maisa money for a davish or b'chayva. So that's why we don't use our maisa money for tuitions. And we don't use our maisa money for any pledge that we made and we are obligated. So if you're already committed to support your son or son-in-law in learning, then now you can't use maisa money because it was already a commitment. It's a davish b'chayv, and I can't use my maisa money. But if before I made the pledge, I had in mind that when I make this pledge, it's going to come out of my tzedakah funds, then that is mutter. Not only it's mutter, it's preferable. I supported a child in learning. That schmitz. That's great. That's phenomenal.
Even if you had to make the pledge anyway.
Wait, I had to make the pledge? What does that mean? Okay, so I didn't have to. I could have gotten a different shidduch. I want the shidduch. It's better for my child, whatever it is, and I'll make that. But I'm allowed to make that commitment, having in mind using tzedakah money. Let's say you pledge for an aliyah. So if you pledge for an aliyah, if you didn't have in mind, and now I want to use the tzedakah money, I can. Tzedakah shabachayva. But if I had in mind before I made the pledge that I'm taking from tzedakah money, then I'm allowed to take it from tzedakah money. There's a shlo that has an issue. I don't want to go into it. But pashas, you can use it from tzedakah money. Okay. Sorry? Same thing. As long as you had in mind before you made that commitment that you're going to take out of tzedakah money. Sorry, what? How about like this? Let me first finish. Hopefully, we'll still have a few minutes before Meir, and then we'll take questions. Because we're running, I love questions, but I think we're running a little bit out of time here. Now, in terms of relatives, we got the tier. Now, there's another set of rules, of priorities, that's laid down in the Shulchan Aruch, and that is proximity, geographical location. So let's just say I have my neighbor who I know is in need, and I have somebody who else is, let's say, in the city who's in need. My neighbor comes first. My neighbor comes before my block. My block comes before my town. That's how it goes. Shochin, then it goes the shchuna, then goes the ear. My city comes before another city. My city comes before even Eretz Yisrael. Just Eretz Yisrael comes before a different city. But my city comes first, even before Eretz Yisrael. So if I have a choice of supporting someone in my city, in North Miami, let's say, or Florida, I know Florida's a state, but let's just say North Miami, I could support someone in North Miami, or I could support somebody in somewhere else, in Lakewood, Iratira. So North Miami for you would come first, because that's your city. Lakewood's great, I love it, but for you, North Miami is better in terms of Hilchos Tzedakah. All right. Now, Rabbi Yisai, the stipulus says that not just your city Anim come first, but your city Moistus come first. Your Moistus that you have in your city comes before Moistus of other cities. Just like there's a Kedima in Anim, so there's a Kedima in Moistus as well. They provide important services to the kehilah, and therefore, if it's a local moised, that local moised comes before a foreign, we'll call it, a distant moised. What happens, Rabbi Yisai, if there's a contradiction between the two bodies of priorities? For example, I have a Karev who's living in Lakewood, or I have a Karev who's living in Australia, and I have my next door neighbor who is not my Karev. Who goes first? In terms of relatives, obviously my Karev who's living, even if he's living far away, is my relative. In terms of proximity, my next door neighbor is much closer. Who ends up winning? Who am I supposed to prioritize? And that we paskin that you're supposed to prioritize your relatives. Your relatives always come first. Family first. It always comes first. The Torah wants us to support our family before we support strangers. And like I said, it might not be in style, it might not be the norm, but that's how it's supposed to be. Recently, we give out money for Yontif, so just Sukkot, I gave out money for Yontif. And one of the people I gave out money to, she has a brother who's phenomenally wealthy, and many of you might have heard his name. I'm not asking questions. Could be he already supports her, who knows how much. Maybe she didn't tell him that she's short and she needs more. But really, family's first. You're supposed to support your family, whatever it takes. Your family goes before other people. And that has to go first. And these rules of Kedima is not just because we're supposed to have that sensitivity and we have social responsibility. We're supposed to care for our family or care for our neighbors first. But if you think about it, based on our Chaim HaKadosh and Noma place, really based on many Svarim, it's really the other way around, and I'll explain. The Svarim say, starting from Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avos, many Rishonim, Achronim, Kadmonim, the Alshek, our Chaim HaKadosh, the Goyim, the Malbim, on and on and on, is that our tzedakah money is not ours. Based on Gemaras like that and Chazal, really, if we have extra money to give away for tzedakah, it means that that money was never meant for our usage to begin with. Because otherwise, what does Hashem give us extra for? Shem provides us, but the extra Shem could have given to someone else. Why is he giving us extra? He's giving us extra because it's meant for somebody else, and we're just the conduit to get it to that person. Hashem is keshbonus why he doesn't want to give the money directly to the aniyim. He wants to, like I said before, give opportunities of other people to benefit, to support the aniyim, to be able to have that schar of supporting the aniyim. For whatever reason is, Hashem doesn't give the money directly and gives it through us. But that money is really the ani's money. And if that's the case, so think for a moment, if Hashem wanted somebody in Australia to be supported, where would he send that extra money to? To somebody who's living in North Miami or to somebody who's living in Australia? To someone who's living in Australia, because the odds are that if it's sent that extra money to someone in Australia, there's a greater chance that that ani who is supposed to be getting that money will receive it. If he sends it to North Miami, I know, it's a one in a million that it's going to end up in Australia. And that's the same thing with Kurva. The reason why we give to our Kraven first is because the money that we have wasn't meant for us, it was meant for our Kraven. And Hashem figured that what's the best chance of getting it to those Kraven? Sending it to his brother. And hopefully his brother will have his eyes open and recognize that he has the responsibility to support his brother. And maybe the money will end up where it's supposed to end up. The Rechaim HaKadosh and the Auschwitz teach up a pasuk, phenomenal chat. The pasuk says, "In kesef talves ami es ha'oni imach." If you have money, you have a chiv to lend the money. "In kesef talves ha'ami es ha'oni imach." And all the mefarshim about the boy, it's not im, it's not a conditional, it's not a choice, it's a chiv d'oraisa to lend money. So what's the im? It should just say kesef talvez amias on imach. Why say im kesef for? What's the im? Im is always if. I want, I don't want. What's the im? I'm supposed to. Zoktor Chaim HaKadosh and Alshuk, watch this chat. Blow your mind. You have to know where to put the comma in the pasuk. Im kesef, comma. If you find yourself that you have extra money more than you need for your personal use, and you're wondering, why in the world did Hashem give me extra money? Why is he so kind to me? The answer is, it's talvez ami es ha'oni imach. It's taka wasn't for you. It's not meant for you. It was meant for the oni imach. The oni that's next to you, that's where we're supposed to be directed. He's the addressee of that money. And Hashem figured that the best chance to get it to him will be to give it to somebody nearby. So it's a oni imach. It's his chelik. It's not yours. That kesef, it's a oni imach, is the chelik that belongs to the oni that's with you. And that's what you're supposed to lend the money to. So, Enochanami, we're going to address that right now. Just give me time, but we'll try to address it right now. Mamish right now. So, the Urcha Shulchan has the following Shaila. So, first of all, Rabbi said, before we go to the next Shaila, so we have another ways of elevating our tzedakah, either by kurva or by location. Keep the money in the city if possible, and that will be a benefit, a better way of using your tzedakah money. You're prioritizing, you're getting more for your money. The money is going to the right recipient, most likely to the right recipient. If you follow the laws of the Shulchan Aruch, then it's more likely that the money is ending up in the right hands. So like this, the Aruch HaShulchan has the following Shaila. He asks a kasha, which is almost your kasha, and that is I think for a moment, that it's going to end up that all the aniyim who have wealthy kroivim are going to be supported. And all the aniyim who don't have wealthy kroivim are going to be left out in the cold. I know in Miami it never gets cold, but it's going to be left out without any money. He's not going to have any money. You're going to be left out without any money because there are no kroven to support them. And Yenim's karev, he's going to support his karev. He's not going to support this guy. So how are these people going to live? That was the Aruch HaShulchan's kasha. And because of this kasha, he deduces from here that must be that the priorities that are set in Shulchan Aruch are not absolute. It just means the lion's share. Most of the money is supposed to follow this tier, keep in the city, keep the kraven, whatever it is, and the rest of the money, the smaller portion, could go elsewhere. Because otherwise, what's going to be with those kravim who don't have a shirim nearby, or a shirim, those anim who don't have a shirim nearby, or a shirim as kravim? That's the Aruch HaShulchan. He took that stand, and he's not alone in that. There are others who go like that as well. But the Chofetz Chaim doesn't go like that. And the Medrash of Mashman, not like that. The Chofetz Chaim holds it's absolute. Many Pesachim hold it's absolute. And in the Chanami, it has to stay. You're supposed to follow that tier to the T. I, the kash of the Aruch HaShulchan. Well, I don't know a great answer to that kasha, but one is that not everyone is learned and knows he's supposed to follow the tiers of the Shulchan Aruch, so they do end up supporting other people. That's one. Second is, there is another equation. There's something else to reckon, and that is, in halacha, if somebody who's an ani, but you know that his kravim will support him, or he has enough connection that he'll be supported, then you're supposed to direct your money elsewhere to somebody who's more in need and will not be supported otherwise. So if that's the case, we could use it to the Aruch HaShulchan's kasha as well. In a Chanami, you're right, I'm supposed to follow this tier, but in a Chanami, if these anim will be supported anyway, then in a Chanami, and those anim are more needy, more desperate, because they don't have relatives who are wealthy, in a Chanami, then I could and should direct my money there, because those people will be starving. Those people will be left out. So the kasha is not so strong. We end up almost in the same place. But in terms of tiers, the tier is the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. We have a tier of kravim, and we have a tier of proximity. And like I mentioned, moises go under that as well. And in terms of upping our stock, we have upping our stock in terms of malei Torah, and upping up our stock in terms of trying to keep, if you give more than 10%, so it's 10% plus 2, 10% plus 6, whatever it is, not 16%, it's 10 plus 6. We want to have that din of maisa hapisoid, and everything else with the tzedaka. We have a maisa region that goes mostly or fully to Mali Torah, and we have that second, what's above that 10%, that can go to mitzvahs. We follow this, Rabbi Isai, then we just elevated all our forms of tzedaka without even spending one extra penny. Because we're now following the details of the Tanoim of Shulchan Aruch, and now the money's going where it's supposed to be going. Hashem created these rules, and if we follow those rules, then we know that the money's supposed to be going where it's supposed to be going. And that's very beneficial. That will be very helpful to all our tzedakah giving. There are another, one more nekuda, and I'll take questions. I told you I'll take questions at the end. Is that there's a nekuda, and this is hard really to determine, but that is the Pesachim talk about other forms of overlapping. Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham who's not a Karev, or you have a Karev who's not a Talmud Chacham. What do you do? And that could be a Machlekes, but according to most Pesachim, Chofetz Chaim goes with that, is that a Karev comes first, even over a Talmud Chacham. Our responsibility to family is first. What happens if you have somebody who's in need for basic necessity, doesn't have clothing, let's say, and somebody has clothing, just he's missing something else? So then, according to the Paiskim, could be that the need puts him in first place, puts him on top of the list, because his need is more basic than the other person's need. But when it comes to Kroivim, according to many Paiskim, including the Chofetz Chaim, Kroivim come first, regardless of their need. If I have a Karev in need, and he's just in need, for example, watch this, a Gilyan Mashal, he's just in need that he's missing a gate, a fence between him and his neighbor. Bakshem, he supports his family, and he pays his tuition, everything's going well, he pays his utilities and mortgage. The only thing that he's missing in life is the fence between him and his neighbor, and it's normal to have a fence between him and his, between neighbors, because it makes good neighbors. So that's the case, and he's in need of that, and he doesn't have it, then it's considered an ani l'oisa dava. He's an ani for that thing. And if he's my karev, then he goes first, even though somebody else might need more basic necessities. A karev goes first. So we should walk out of here knowing that we have to open up our eyes. We all have karevim. We have opened up the eyes, we all have neighbors, and we all know of Talmidei Chachamim. And anyone who, Baruch Hashem, is surrounded by only wealthy krovim and wealthy neighbors and wealthy people in your city, let me know. I'll tell you, I'll show you where you can send your money to. But everyone has the opportunity. If we have the sensitivity, we open up our eyes, we'll look around us, we'll be able to find these anim easily, unfortunately too easily, and we're able to provide for them directly, but they're covered. You don't have to go through organizations. You get the full punch out of your money, the mamish, the full oomph. You get your 100 cents on the dollar, and everyone is happy. You're happy, he's happy. You have so many benefits from that. Okay, let me hear some shaylas.
How do you, these donations don't happen all at once. So you have a moisture that comes to you, 2 weeks later you have a car that comes to you, 2 weeks, meaning, and then how do you determine how much to give the first guy? Because the second guy might show up.
Right, so if you think that your card might show up, then in economy you should probably, at that point...
It's inevitable, let's just say.
Right, so then you should plan in advance. Then you should know that that's happening. And maybe, instead of having the karev show up to you, be proactive about it, and show up to your karev.
How do you determine how much to give each person?
So I don't know how much your karev needs, but you could find out. If he's willing to be straightforward, you could sit him down. I would love to help you.
Karev is easier, but right. For example, thousands of maestas, and
Baruch Hashem, everyone's important, and everything, right, one is chashev, right. And everything is full tzedakah. I have to chazer ahiv, because I, Chalila v'chason's walking out of this shul thinking that if you give to a maestas, you didn't know. It's 100% tzedakah, no matter what their overhead is and what's lost on the way. But l'maisa is, you give to your kravim, you're getting more out of your money. You tell me you already satisfied your kravim, and now you want to do maestas, so try to use the maestas that are molei Torah. Kailulim is a great opportunity. Yeshivas based bati medrash, but let's say a girls' school, which is so needed in Klal Yisrael, but lav davka, that's a molei Torah, right? So then we, right? It could be a molei Torah that you'd be paying his tuitions, so you could do that. But if you're not doing that, it might not be. So you have to know how that works, right? Or let's say you have schools that also do other things besides Torah. Let's say you have a school that also has a secular study program. So now a chelik is going for Torah and a chelik is not. So if you put that up to the next thing that's totally Torah, so then totally Torah will come first. These are the decisions we need to make in life. And if we have that sensitivity and that little planning, we could really elevate and be more meaningful, I would say, Dr. Given.
If you don't go to the Kashal, so how do you answer Shemilin's Kasha? How is any money ever going to get there? It'll never leave the city.
So I said, because if that person in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have that need, that doesn't have the people to provide for him, and the people you're supporting here have others to provide for him, so there's a halacha, there's another equation that you have to take into account, that might make that other person jump ahead of the line.
I'm saying that's not going to see us. If you said verse 7, most of us also is on the earth, like most of us, so it'll never happen, it'll never end.
It will never end. Why?
My stock of money will never, whatever I can give will never be able to be enough. The most will still need more, even if I gave 100% to them.
Okay, but Baruch Hashem, you're not alone here. You have a beautiful city. You're not alone, and other people are supporting these places also.
Who should get there? Who decides? But even like
Dark Hashuka, let's not get lost. Even like Dark Hashuka, most of your money have to follow these rules.
Okay,
so one more thing I forgot to mention when it comes to any Indianist. Any Indian, by David HaMelech, we learn that from David HaMelech, that you're not supposed to give more than half of your Maisa money to any one cause. And some Paiskim want to extend it to even one group of cause. So for example, if you're supporting Kraven, so then some say you shouldn't be giving more than 50% of your tzedakah money to Kraven. So that will now ease up other monies, that other half of your money to give to other things. But you're right, I still stay in my city, I still have shchenim, I still have people and moises and all that, and at that point my monies won't leave the city. That's true, so depending on what bracket you're in, but yes, that's true. Look, I'm involved, Baruch Hashem, I've discussed to be involved in dozens of tzedakahs. I'm constantly raising money, and any time I speak, I always have tzedakah money in my wallet, and I'm always giving it out right away. And as of now, I have like three different sections in my wallet for tzedakah money. That's how it goes. There's constant tzedakah. I can tell you as a fact, very few people are mismanaging their money. They might not spend the money the way you want them to spend the money, but they're not overspending. Just because you think that it's important to have, let's just say, a vacation, but you don't think it's important to have go to restaurants, and they think they need to have restaurants or buy bought food because that allows them to have Yishev Hadas, and they don't go on vacation, that doesn't make them doing something irresponsible. It just means they're not you. That's all. And that's fine. And micromanaging other people's lives is usually a slippery slope. It just doesn't work. So I can tell you, I do this all the time, and I don't ask questions, and if someone's in need, I'm trying to help them, and that's it. I don't go into that kishkes. Well, you know, maybe you should be spending over here. I don't do that, and it's unnecessary. And the Torah is not mechayiv just to do it. No, in Shulchan Aruch does it say that I have to do that. So it's not my responsibility. I gave them the money that they need. I was mekayim my mitzvah of tzedakah, and how they want to spend it is up to them.
Your proximity once you're out of your own city.
No, once you're out of your own city, you're done. The next step is Eretz Yisrael. That's so it's your city, and then Eretz Yisrael.
Can you give all to one moysa?
No, you can't. You're not,
that
you shouldn't. Yeah, but you shouldn't give more than half of your money to any one cause.
L'chachila.
So that's what I'm saying. Certainly not to any one karev. Certainly not to any one karev. But like I said, some place can stretch it even not to the entire kravim section.
So the city, catching them more than 50%.
No, that they don't say it all day. Because in the city, there's so many diverse needs, you don't have a problem. But in terms of kravim, to give your money, more than half your money to kravim, might be an issue. Not muskim, it's a you know, depending on the paiskim. So therefore, I'm just answering Friedman Shiloh, so that frees up at least some of the money to go elsewhere. Correct, it's still going to patch to stay in the city. Right.
That giving chaimish or chaimish is not for that anymore. We have, you know, in Yaakov says that, you know, if you take care of me, I'll give
Asa to Asa. Right, correct. But what was Asa to Asa of what?
I mean, he's going to give him whatever Hashem gave him.
Right, but so that might be where the Medrash is coming from, and that's the double Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Aser to Aser, the two Maasers, rather than 120%, it's not a Chaimish, it's 210%, correct? But there is no halacha that says I'm supposed to give Maaser Ksofen. There's no halacha, it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Because I'll show you more, I'll show you Medrashim. You're coming from Kliyakas, I'll show you Chazal. But it's not a halacha. There's in Yonim or Pikabala why to do it, but it's not a law. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch.
It says that since Yaakov, when they came out of the tribe, the hunger stopped because of his change the nature of the world.
Great, beautiful. Yeah, I'm not telling you not to do it. You should do it. Continue to do it. 100%. We should all do it. 100%. I'm not saying that. I'm just stating a fact. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So it's not a law. Right? That's all. You're not arguing with that, right? You also agree it's not a Shulchan Aruch. You're just bringing all the Makaris. So I understand. It's a minig of Klai, so it's a beautiful minig, and we should keep on to that minig. It's a beautiful minig. I was just telling you how to bring it up to give it to our Molly time.